now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. She didn't know that there was this elephant in the room. Yeah. The elephant literally fell through the ceiling, broke the glass window, and suddenly it's in the room with us. She didn't know it was coming.
I've dated multiple guys that have turned out to be gay.
Yeah, me and you both, sister. And what does that say about us?
And like the trying to conceive journey and figuring out like the timing of the next steps in your life. And sometimes you have this grand idea in your mind of, well, things need to go this way because this is my plan. And if it doesn't go that way, I'm not going to be happy. I don't know how I could possibly be happy.
And he looks at her dead in the face and says, you haven't seen a single person in this line that has as much influence as I do. Showed her his social blade, Brooke. Brought up the social blade. And he's like, well, look how much I'm growing every single day. Look how much I am expanding every single day compared to these losers with only a million followers. Are you joking me? I'm VIP, VIP. You're going to let me in the party first. I'm not waiting in this line. I have never...
Should we start with the cheers?
We should.
Should we center ourselves with the cheers from the largest coffee you've ever seen in your life?
Clonk. Clonk. Cheers. You know what's so nice of my friend? Because I did wake up with a caffeine headache this morning. Mm-hmm. She took me on a Midwest drive to get a gallon of coffee. Mm-hmm. Not like a light, skinny, pretty girl coffee. No. I got a full, extra large caramel macchiato. I've never felt better.
Oh, the amount of sugar and caffeine flowing through our veins. We've never been more pleasant. We've never had such a pep in our step. We are so good today.
Vibes are up, you guys. They're new high. Month, new whimsical outlook on life. Brooke, I do fear I owe you an apology because I was actually a raging bitch last month.
What?
And I am willing to admit it. I am willing. Okay, you guys, let me tell you. Let me paint you the picture of the month that I had last month. So I have always been like a do-it-all girl. Like, yes. I can do everything. I don't need help. I'll figure it out. And I've really like loosened up. We let Skylar, who's wonderful, edit the podcast. Like Ari's editing the clips. Like I'm finally at 28 big years old learning like it's okay to like release things onto other people. And it
takes a village.
Sorry, there's like a bunch. We traveled. So there's a bunch of hair in my mind.
It's cookie hair. She misses us.
No, I've had the realization because I think when you like own your own business, quote unquote, for the audio listeners, like, when you're doing your own thing, like you're self-employed, as they would say, it's really easy to like put everything on yourself. And it has been a fulfilling journey to me to like bring people into my stratosphere. You know, like I always have to think about Brooke. I have to think about Skylar and like how much time she needs to edit something. And I have to think about all these people, which has like been such a learning curve for me because I am used to doing everything myself, but in like a good, positive, growing into adulthood kind of way, you know? Last month, I really got ambitious and I was like, I'm going to try out some vlog editors, tried a few out. And I was like putting all my hopes and faith. And I was like, these girls are going to slay the house down. They're going to come back to me with a vlog. It was supposed to be done. So I have like a pretty good schedule these days. Sorry, I'm really taking over this whole thing.
No, please.
Sorry, Brooke.
Use the mic, Blondie.
the caramel macchiato is hitting.
Speak.
I have gotten into a really good system where I like aim for 2 to 3 vlogs a month. Typically, too, is what realistically ends up happening. I've gotten into a good flow. Like, I know when I need to do things for them to get done on time. I know who I need to contact for things to get done, when they need to get done. Last month, I was supposed to have my edited version of my vlog done before you came to LA. Like, I had this all planned out, you guys. I was like, I'm going to get my vlog up before Brooke comes to LA because that... It subconsciously, which I know it doesn't sound like a stressful thing, but it adds, like... You know, when you have like a running to-do list in your brain and it's all you can think about is like this loom and gloom of like, I have this blanket of things that is weighing over me and like, how am I going to get it done? Because like when I have time to spend with like my friends or my family, I try to be as intentional as I can. Like that's my love language as like we have present. Decided. Yes. Like I don't want to be like with my brother or Brooke scrolling on my phone or like zoning out or editing, because when I go into an editing hole, it's like it's a legitimate hole. Like, don't expect to hear from me. Don't expect to see
me. It's like a hibernation.
Yes. So when I didn't get my edited vlog back in time, I was like, oh no. Oh no. Gulp. It's the end of the month. Like, my contracts are due. I don't have a vlog edited. I don't know what I'm going to do it. Brooke and my brother are going to think I'm crazy if I'm like editing in between what we're doing, which not your fault at all.
No.
Not their problem at all, but all
week.
Well,
it's like an invisible pressure. Cause like you could tell, like I could tell you a trillion times, hey, I will talk to a brick wall and entertain myself. Like, which she genuinely will. I will. Like, you don't have to worry about me, but you're so like, you're so kind that you won't, it doesn't matter. Like, it's like a personal thing for you. It's like you,
like, I just really, and yeah, cause it's almost like you were coming into my territory. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want you to feel like I was leaving you out or like leaving you with my brother who like, you know, but don't really know.
Yeah.
But I am sorry to everyone if I came off like a raging bitch the past few weeks, including to Brooke, because I felt so bad. You guys, I was on the airplane and I was like, oh God, like I have loom and gloom all over my face. Like, I have to turn this episode around for tomorrow. Aww. Blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, Mom, I think Brooke is going to hate my guts. No! She's going to be like, Morgan is terrifying. She is a raging. Anyway, I did a lot of self-reflection and I need to learn. I was giving Brooke a whole speech about like managing cortisol and I'm learning.
No, it's funny. Morgan and I spend once a month together on average, sometimes more. And I have gotten to know you as if you are an extension of my siblings in a sense, like genuinely, like anyone with siblings knows I have three sisters. So I think it's a lot easier for me to like, I adopt sisters all the time. And Morgan is just one of them where I know when it's not personal and I can read you like a book. I knew the second I touched down in LA that you were stressed and you didn't even know you were stressed yet. Like, right. It was like there was an elephant hanging over your head that you were unaware existed yet. And every single day that crept along the trip, I could just feel like it was like you were getting like more stressed, more stressed, more stressed. And so I find the best way I can support you is to just give you space and like to like just take as much off of your plate as possible, which most of the time is like mental load. Because I'm one of those people that talks to fill silence. And that can be overstimulating as shit when you're trying to think through things in your head.
But I don't ever want you to think that I don't love your talking.
No.
I'm so happy to. That's like, my biggest fear is I'm like, I do not want Brooke to ever leave and be like, I annoyed her today.
No,
you know?
It's just like you accommodate me where like I am one of those people that needs way more reassurance than the average person. And Morgan, like, you're always accommodating me. We're like, you say things out loud that you know, like, for a normal person might not need to be said, but she'll be like, hey, by the way, not annoyed at you. Like, I'm focusing on this. And it will take so much pressure off of me. I'm like, okay. Where it's the same thing. Like, I know when to be quiet, not because I don't have things to say, but because I know it's going to take a mental load off of you. So it's just like accommodating your friend.
Oh, love.
But I love you.
Love and friendship and all the things. I didn't think anything
of it. I was like, we both need a nap.
We do. Oh my gosh. And Brooke, Miss World Traveler over here, which is exhausting in itself.
No, it's so fun. I do travel so much, but I have never been more fulfilled. I've been having so much fun the last few months going all around.
Yeah, I think you should do it now because you're planning to have a baby soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully. God.
I'm in.
Everyone send Brooke the baby dust. Yes. But, you know, once you have a baby, it's not going to be like, oh, I can just go with my husband on a whim, like to his work trip or wherever we're going. So I think you should embrace like the season that you're in right now.
We did get an email. I'm pretty private about that journey I'm on right now for like a plethora of reasons. And we did get an email a few weeks ago that was like, you know, Brooke, you've mentioned once or twice that you're in that period of like the trying to conceive period or like the waiting period. And I never want to be like overbearing about it, but I will say I am in a period of just trying to be as patient as possible and do the things that I can do to enjoy life. It's a really strange balance of enjoying and being grateful for the life you have now, while also yearning and preparing yourself for a new chapter that you want and like I like pray for so vehemently. And so it's a strange balance, but I will say traveling has made that so like much more fulfilling, because I find that I'm way more present in the day to day now than I was like before we started filming, where I was like living 5 years in the future. Cause that's, you would say that to me all the time. You're like, you're always thinking so far ahead. And yeah, I'm like,
you're planning for the future always.
Whereas now I feel like I'm finding like the peace in being present in the day to day. And I will say traveling has really helped with that. So I have a lot of adventures coming up that I'm really excited about. I'm going to Japan at the end of the year, which is like my dream. And
I really think you should vlog these.
I think I am, you guys.
I'm trying. I'm pushing you guys. I'm bullying at this point.
We did vlog yesterday.
We did. We
were working on
against her will. I am going to make her a vlogger. And then I keep telling her, like, if you do it, it's not like you're signing a year contract.
No.
Like, you're not. Gun to your head, you are not forced to do it. If you put out a few and you're like, you know what, this actually isn't for me, you can just stop.
No,
that's the beauty of the internet, is everything is at free will.
Yeah, I do love it. It's just, it's before the podcast, I was such a private person. Like, I posted on Instagram once a year. Like, I really, it's been a new muscle to work, being kind of vulnerable and sharing things that normally I would keep private. Like, it's just kind of a new muscle to work, because there's that voice in my head that's like, why the hell would people care? Like
no, right.
Why would you care about what I saw on like a trip? Or why would you care about like what I'm putting on my face or whatever? So it's exciting. I genuinely love doing it, and I'm already having fun. So more to come.
Yeah, that is such a hard concept to comprehend, because I struggled with that for so long, of putting out videos and being like, well, why do people care?
Yeah.
But as a YouTube viewer, because that's basically when I'm at home, that's all I'm really watching is YouTube. And I think from a viewer standpoint, I don't really care what people are doing. Perhaps I find people that I genuinely like and I resonate with, and I like their style, and I like what they have to say, and I like their aesthetic, and I just like generally, like, if I met you in real life, I would want to be your friend type of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't care what they're doing. I just kind of like having the company, especially for people that live alone, or like, for me, I've never had like a big group of girlfriends. And I think that's why I've always been such a YouTube watcher, because it kind of fills that silence.
And I've been a YouTube viewer for literally my whole life. Mm-hmm. I think I started watching YouTube. My dad had given me his old generation one iPhone when I was like in fifth grade, because he got the 3G, and I thought I was the coolest girl ever. And on the original iPhone, the YouTube app,
the brown one,
yes, was like baked into the phone.
The little TV dial app.
I abused that damn function more than any fifth grader probably should in 2008. And so I do understand. I think it's been a learning curve, but even spending so much time with your family was so, getting into the LA trip a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to ask you for your recap.
Yeah, so we were just in LA. We spent, 4 days there?
And it went by so fast.
Ridiculous.
I don't know if that was just because I was thinking about a million things, or if it genuinely just flew by. We also did have a lot of fun. There was a lot of fun to be had.
There was so much fun. I was saying to Morgan, I loved every single second being there, because the days being with your family in LA are so full. Like full.
Stacked.
Like, not busy. It's not like that. It's so rich just in everything. Like, you've got the boys running around, like the kids. And then you've got.
And they just melt your little heart.
And like.
They're so precious. They have made my heart grow four times
bigger. Oh my gosh. And the way that like Chris and Spencer and Lizzie, like, they're just as much a part of the family as anyone else. And it's like, there's just so much love around. And then. Everything you guys do, it's so present. You guys really are. Like, there was not one moment where we were sitting at a table, like having lunch or whatever, where people were like on their phone. Like, everyone's just so like present with each other. And it's stimulating in a way that is, I feel like, so healthy, especially because we both, like, when I'm in Dallas, I'm with my husband who works, obviously. So like, I spend a lot of time alone in Dallas, and you spend a lot of time alone in Denver. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, being surrounded by so many people who have such good energy was so fulfilling in so many ways.
They are, I feel like, the luckiest girl in the world to have such like amazing people to look up to. They yeah. really are. Like my yeah. brother is a life force. You would not even believe the amount of things that that man gets done in one day. It's indescribable.
His capacity. I said this to Shane, I think in the podcast we filmed with him, but there was something so inspiring to see the way your brother specifically has this like second gear. Like he gives 100% of himself when he's working, like on the vlog or the podcast or anything work related. It's like he's giving 100% of himself. And you would think at the end of like a busy work day like that, you would be on empty. Mm-hmm. And then he walks in the door, sees the boys, and he gets 100% new like gas tank. And he's giving like 100% more of himself to like his kids and the life that he's building for himself at home. And it was so insane to see someone's capacity like that.
It's, yeah, we know I'm trying to get there every damn
Me
day.
Too, girl.
That's been my thing. I've been trying to work on cortisol control
yeah.
and capacity growth.
Yeah.
Because they can really handle so much. It's unbelievable.
Well, and it's, you, I think, said this like kind of in passing. You're like, it just seems like they have more hours in the day than I do.
Mm-hmm.
You said something like that. And I was thinking about that when I got home. Because I went from being so stimulated and so like, I felt like I had so much purpose there too. Because like everything you guys do is so intentional that I get home and I'm just like sitting on my couch playing Dreamlight Valley as I do. And I'm like on day two of doing that, like over the weekend that I got back. And I'm like, oh, this just doesn't feel as like full. And I realized it's not like an hours in the day thing. I think it's just they're so intentional with every minute
right.
that they spend. They're not checking out. Like at no
right.
point did I see Shane, Ryland, Lizzie, Chris, like I didn't see anyone check out. Everyone was so present.
Maybe that's the gift you gain in parenthood, right? That
yeah.
we just haven't like had to experience because they really, it's like the hours that you have to work where like,
mm-hmm.
you know, your kids are loved and being cared for at home. Those are the hours that you have no choice other than to get done.
Yeah.
Whereas like right now, because both of us don't have kids, we're like, well, we can la-di-da, we can go to Starbucks and then we can go shopping
yeah.
and then we'll film like maybe after we take a nap.
Totally.
Whereas they're like, we have to stay on schedule or everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like, I feel like that was a good like motherhood like glimpse
oh my
for
gosh,
you of like
yeah.
what it's like to like, not that you haven't seen people with kids, but you just see like how people are operating with like toddlers at home in
well,
a way that's
fulfilling.
Well,
especially twins. Like they're mm-hmm. the first set of twins I've ever seen. And Lizzie's kids are basically, they're similar to twins and like they're only a year apart.
Yeah.
So she also has like two little ones to take care of. And it was very inspiring because I'm realizing like, oh, like I complain when I have to go to the grocery store and a workout class all in one day. Like I'm humbled.
No,
I'm humbled in this moment.
Lizzie asked me to film a makeup video and she was asking like what it's like to be around so many kids as a person that doesn't have kids, like if it's draining or whatever. And I was like, I think every time I'm around you guys, I realize, oh, I actually do have free time. Oh, it's actually
right.
embarrassing. But I think that's just because we don't have kids. So
yes.
we've never practiced that
My
muscle.
Mom has this theory, and I don't know if it's like substantiated with science. It very well could be. But everything my mom says, I take as science. So I'm like, like she's so smart, everything she says. But she's like, yeah, it's almost as if your brain chemistry changes so much that your capacity, whether you want it to or not, when you become a mom, expands. She's like, you'll see moms are like the most amazing multitaskers that you'll ever meet. Because my mom was like, because I said to her, I was like, I feel like I'm too tired of a person to be a mom sometimes. Like sometimes I just need to take a nap. And like when you're a mom, you just don't have that right. And she's like, when you become a mom, your brain, everything changes.
Your chemistry gets mm-hmm. rewired. Hopping in to tell you about a product that I find so innovative and so interesting. And even though I've never been a smoker or a vapor, I do understand how hard habits can be to break. Life is just a combination of little routines and rituals that your brain gets attached to. And that's why I thought Fume was such a cool idea. Fume is a flavored air device designed to help people quit vaping and smoking by replacing the hand-to-mouth habit. There's no nicotine, no vapor, no batteries. It's basically this weighted little fidget device that gives your hands and brain something else to reach for when craving hits. The flavors are intentionally lighter than vaping. It's more like a flavored water versus soda. I tried the raspberry one and it's definitely sweeter and tangier. And the crisp mint is stronger if you like more of that icy mint flavor. And all the ladies at home know, I personally have been screaming from the rooftops. It is time to protect our lungs, quit the vaping, quit the smoking. It is so nice to just have something in your hand that's a replacement. Vuum has already helped over 700,000 people take steps toward better habits. And now it is your turn. You can use our code HEARMEOUT to get a free gift with your journey pack. Head to tryfume.com, that's T-R-Y-F-U-M.com, and use the code HEARMEOUT to claim your free gift today. Thank you so much to Vuum for sponsoring this episode. Now, I tell everybody, if I could describe my month-to-month experience in life, is I go through two major depressions every month. It's like an up and a down and an up and a down. Not in a bipolar way, thank you very much.
You hear that?
I hang out with Brooke once a month, and we have so much fun, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I get life to hang out with my bestie. Like, we're having so much fun, other than when I'm hangry or being a raging because I have other things to do. But more, 99% of the time, we're having a really good time, okay? Then she leaves and I'm like, I'm alone again. Oh my God, I'm alone again. Because I get so used to you being in like my space and like our routine together, because we kind of have like a daily routine that we do.
Yeah, it's like an energetic like exchange every day.
And it's just so nice to have like good company at home and be like, oh, we're filming and we're working. Because that's the part that I do love. Like, I love filming more than anything. Like, that's why I do this, is because like I like to film. It's all the stuff that comes after, which is like a different problem for a different day. Brooke leaves, I go through a wave of like, oh my gosh, sad, lol, omg, I'm alone in this house again, womp womp, life is not worth living. Not that bad, but you know what I mean, like when you go, when you have a lot of fun, and then like when you go on a vacation or something and then you leave and you're like going through that dopamine drop.
Exactly. Because it's really what it comes down to is like stimulation and like healthy stimulation and not like and coping stimulation. Because I feel like TikTok, video game, like all of the things that we do on the day to day are like feel good stimulants that are somewhat detrimental when you look at like the spikes, right? Like TikTok is such a huge spike in dopamine. And then when we're together, it's this like healthy exchange of like, I'm with my friend and we can talk about anything and everything all day. Or
and
like,
we can go get coffee and we love each other and
And then it's like, because I feel that way too. Just like, and I have Jacob at home. Like, I cannot imagine, and I've said this to him, like, I cannot imagine what your experience is. Because I feel that way when I get home from hanging out with you, in the sense where I'm like, oh, I miss my friend. But like, at least I have my husband where like, there's, I have like an additional, like, you guys both mean so much to me that like, I feel like I'm never lacking. I sometimes think about you in that house in Denver and I'm like, oh, like, I hate that I had to leave. Like, I hate that I had to leave you there.
I know, which I do believe I have mastered the art of being alone and not being sad.
Which is such a skill.
Yeah, I have figured out a way to like occupy my time in a way where I'm not like loom and gloom laying on the couch all day. Like, I have figured out how to have a productive day, how to wake up, how to go for a walk, how to get ready. What really helps me is getting ready. I try to get ready most days just because it makes me feel like, okay, now I'm ready. Now I have to participate in the day. Where, because I'm a person that if I sit on the couch all day, I'll stay there. Like, it's hard for me to like go up and down. So I try to like stay on a good routine and stay on a good schedule. But my other sadness drop is because I've been going to LA maybe like once a month or once every 6 weeks. And life there is just so, like, you, I guess it's, you would said, rich. It's just rich and it's full, and you have like such, it's such a strong community. And I think the thing that people don't necessarily understand, or maybe the where the perspective is off, is it was never like that the first time I lived there. Like, it was a completely different dynamic, a completely different exchange. Like, it is so much more of like a well-oiled machine now, whereas before it was just kind of like at random we decided what we do, and now it's like a schedule where you're wanted and you're needed, and then you can also have help and you can also have people that want to help you.
It's the village.
Yeah,
it's the village. I think too, the other thing that's so hard for us, and I think it's a repercussion of COVID times that we don't really think about as people in our 20s, because I really feel like our generation is so resilient that we don't really like take time to process like the literal like collective trauma we went through, losing so many years of our life in lockdown and then waking up. I mean, we were like 22 when lockdown happened. We wake up at 24. Finally, the world's opened up again. But now at 28, we're like really grown.
We're yes. But at the same time, I feel like this newfounded youth.
Yes.
Like newfounded, like, oh, I'm not dying and old. No. I'm actually so young.
Like there's life to live, but we're so like who we were at 23, 22, 19 living in LA is so different than the 28-year-olds who get to exist there. Cause right. It was my first time being back in LA after living there for 6 years, really. And I didn't know how I was going to feel being back.
I was a little worried because when I first started going back, I don't know if you were, because we didn't really see each other for like a year or two, like too often. Like it was kind of like here and there. Yeah. But when my brother Shane and I all moved to Colorado, it was kind of the conclusion that we were never going to go back. Mm. So then when we started like dabbling in going back, at first I was like, this is like giving me so much anxiety. So yeah. I was worried that you were going to have the same wave of emotion where you're like, oh, this actually is like bad memories.
It's so weird because I really didn't know how I was going to feel. And I immediately was just filled with such a peace. It was so strange. And I just was like, oh, I don't think the place was the problem. I think it's how I felt in this place.
You know, I wrote that in my notes. Like sometimes I'll be awake at night just scrambling in thoughts. I opened my note app a couple nights ago. And the only thing I wrote down in the middle of the night is I did not hate the place. I hated the person that I was in the place. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter where the place could have been. Yep. I could have been in Colorado, could have been in LA, could have been in Yeehaw, Texas, could have been in Canada, and I would have had the same experience because it was who I was at my core, not the environment. Because I think a lot of people, especially in that time, it was like LA is like a toxic wasteland. New York is a toxic place. And I don't think it's like the place. I think it's the confidence you have in yourself to thrive in the place. And that's what I have gathered living, because forever people were like, you're always going to be sad no matter what you do, Morgan. You're always miserable. You're always sad. And I had to figure out, like, how do I fulfill myself at home by myself all day, every day? And now I think I would be confident going anywhere, being like, I know how to entertain myself. I know how to keep myself happy. I know how to keep myself motivated. And that's something that I could have learned that anywhere, but like, I'm so happy I got to learn it where I did. But now moving forward in my life, I just feel more of like a confidence in myself that I know I can make myself happy wherever I am.
I think too, there are some cities that are pressure cookers and they can expedite that growth in a crazy way. Like I moved to LA when I was 17 years old. I had just turned 17. I graduated high school as a junior and spent basically my senior year living in Hollywood by myself. Like crazy, crazy detour in life. And the growth I had from like 17 to 22, really, like, I don't think that that could have happened anywhere else. But I also think that growth comes with growing pains.
Right.
And sometimes I think sometimes you got to get quiet and remove yourself from those pressure cooker situations to recognize, like, okay, you can still grow in quiet moments too. And sometimes that kind of growth is just as important as like the overstimulating, you know, like go, go, go. Like, cause LA at that time was an intense place to live. It just was. There was so much pressure and like expectation. Like I remember going, one of the saddest things I ever saw living in LA, and I think it did rewire my brain in some way. I was probably like 20, probably like 20, like 19 or 20 in college with a fake ID, God forbid. And my friend and I were going out to a club in LA, in like Hollywood. It's called the Highlight Room. And I had never been to a club before. It was my first time. And my friend knew this promoter who would get us in and we were going. And I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. And we walk up to the club line. It was like me, my two friends, and this big group of girls going into this table. And there was a big line around the club, like around the block of people waiting to get in. And there was these two girls standing at the front who I thought looked so cute. They looked so pretty, I thought. And as we're going in, I overheard them saying like, oh my God, it's so unfair. We've been waiting here for over an hour to get in. And like, I guess we're not pretty like them. Something to that effect. And I remember literally stopping in my tracks and like, it struck me so bad because it didn't really cross my mind that there was like such severe exclusivity going on.
Oh, it's insanity.
Yeah,
absolutely horrific.
And the guilt, I felt so much guilt even going into the club. I don't even think I stayed long because I'm like, wait, like that's so f***ed up. That's so not fair. Like what, some random bouncer just decided that they didn't have the look.
You know where that's a huge thing is Miami.
I have heard that. I've never gone out in Miami, but I've heard God, that. Oh God,
you know I haven't either, but yeah. I've heard from the grapevine that people who are just gorgeous girls wanting to go have fun get turned away at the door and it's...
But I think too, like when you're at that kind of like very impressionable age, like that we were at that time where we're going through puberty and growing into ourselves too, like a hometown bar around here, like no one would ever get turned away. Like no one would ever be like turned away at the door because they didn't like the dress they were wearing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just, I think back to that during those impressionable times and like we had a lot to, at least I did. I had a lot I had to heal in myself that I didn't even realize were wounds until I got out of the situation.
Well, the economy in Los Angeles, New York, and Miami is very much status, influence, and beauty. Mm. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter who you are. If you have beauty, if you have influence, if you have status, you can get in anywhere. And it's a horrible, horrible ecosystem to be a part of.
Yeah.
However, I would argue that it's still the same, but we are different.
I think that's right.
I think that we are more, and also we're not putting ourselves in those environments. Yep. Like you would not catch me dead Mm-mm. going to like catch LA on a Friday night.
No.
Whereas that was like the huge thing that all the influencers did. I think, and it's so nice to be around people like my brother and Shane who are very regimented, working mm-hmm. all day, very mentally grounded and stable yep. versus being around like girls who are a hot mess express, which I was one of them, trying to figure it out, running around with their head cut off. Yep. Like, we don't know how we're going to get home. We don't know how we're going to get into the bar. Like, I think that chaos is still there. I think it is a good sign that we have just grown out of it.
But it was so healing to be like in that place again and be like, oh, like I actually am having a lot of fun. And like, mm-hmm. oh, I actually love it here. And,
it's beautiful and it's yeah. green and everything is pretty and... Mm-hmm.
It rewired my brain a bit and I've actually found the whole thing very healing. And so I was really grateful to be there, honestly.
It is, my mom and I were debriefing when we got back to the airport because we were waiting for my dad to pick us up. And my mom was like, I have never seen like Rylan and Shane warm up to somebody so fast mm-hmm. and like just be their authentic selves. Granted, we do have a lot of like friendship trauma. So I think it was so nice to like, have all my people. I loved having all of my people in one space. That is my dream.
On the topic of Los Angeles, I was genuinely so pleasantly surprised at how I felt. And I also was so, as your friend, like I, obviously y'all know Morgan from the video.
Girlfriend, some would say.
Yes, some would
my
say
work
that.
Wife, you some could
some would
add.
Say work wife, some would say other half. But I feel like I have seen so many seasons of your life, knowing you for over the last 8-ish years. And it is rare that I have seen you at so much peace
Aww.
Than you were being surrounded by your people in that way. And I think it's a corny thing that sometimes people are like, I love her like a sister. But I legitimately do.
Oh, and the feeling is mutual.
And I worry about you as a sister. Like I worry about you in the same way that I worry about my younger sister in college and the same way. And I was like, I was even at peace knowing that you had that support system and seeing it so tangibly. And so all in all, it's funny, one of the funniest clips I think that we have from this podcast is like our first episode. We were doing like a Q&A and someone's like, would you ever move back to LA? And at the same time, we're like, no, absolutely not. But, and I always really thought that that opinion would never change for me because I just had such a tumultuous time living there, like high highs, low lows. But seeing you there, experiencing it the way that it did, I would be thrilled to spend more time there. And I would feel so at peace knowing that you spent more time there too.
Oh, that is sweet. It is so palpable. Like the love there, it's almost like when I go home, I go through like a mourning,
yeah.
Not in a way of I'm miserable that I'm alone and I'm so sad that I'm alone, in a way of I know that there are people that I love so much and that I have so much fun with. And it like physically hurts my body that I like know that they're there and I know that they want me there and I'm just not.
Well, and they miss you. Mm-hmm. Like even seeing the boys, like when Vicky and Morgan said bye to them, like they got emotional. Like, and it was like gut-wrenching to watch because I was like, like it's going to be weeks since you see them next.
Isn't it? It literally breaks your heart into you. You're like, oh, they're going to think I abandoned them. They're going to think that I'm gone forever. They're going to think that I died. God damn it. Like help.
And sometimes I've been in this period too, like kind of like we talked about, like in like the trying to conceive journey and figuring out like the timing of the next steps in your life. And sometimes you have this grand idea in your mind of, well, things need to go this way because this is my plan. And if it doesn't go that way, I'm not going to be happy. I don't know how I could possibly be happy if I don't get what I want immediately. And if things don't go according exactly to my plan. And hindsight is a very challenging thing to get quickly. And I think sometimes like it's so important to try and get perspective even when you're in a moment like that. And I think for you even like there's been times where we've had conversations where it's like, man, like I just really thought my life would look like this. Or I thought the thing that I was doing there was going to turn into this. And I don't know why it didn't. And it's like, even now being, you are in such an awesome stage in your life where it's like, how awesome is it that you could decide, hey, I'm going to go spend 6 weeks over there.
Right.
And then I'm going to spend 6 weeks over in Denver and I'm going to go here. Like you can be so flexible and there's such a beauty and like a gift in that. And I think it's so cool to see you embracing that as well.
Yeah. Well, when I bought that, the house that I live in now, when I was, 21, 22?
Okay, which is crazy to think about.
In hindsight, 2020, craziest thing I ever did. Best thing I ever did. Like biggest blessing of my life. But I bought it under the assumption that I would be like married with kids by now and like fill the house with the people that I love. And now being there and I'm like, oh, well, life didn't go the way that I planned, but you can always reroute that. Like you're not stuck. You always talk
about that, right?
You can always pivot.
Yeah.
You're not stuck anywhere.
No.
So you want to know the craziest thing that I don't know if I've actually ever told you this.
What?
Well, speaking of like the LA Miami thing. Okay. This sometimes you have to be around people that are awful, not to be rude. People that are awful, like just vain and conceited and arrogant and horrible. And
then you realize I'm not that bad.
You're not.
And you're like, thank God. Thank God.
Oh, you talk a lot. Darn.
You're like, I recognize in you that you might be worse than me. And that's humbling.
I was pretty young, probably 19 or 20. And I didn't go to VidCon. Shane, like for some reason, he was just very protective of like all of us a group. And I didn't realize like how much of a gift that was. When you're young, you don't realize like how much wisdom your elders, not my elders, but like the people who have walked before you, you don't realize the wisdom that they have to offer you. But my brother and Shane protected me like no other. We didn't go to VidCon. They let me go to, not let me, but like, they were like, all right, like this will be fun. I think they just didn't want me to get like exploited in a way that was like nasty and crummy because people will take a new person that's like, because you know, like every so often, like a new person will pop off and everyone's talking about them and then they get every brand deal in the world. And then it's kind of like, well, you did it all already. I think they were very protective of me not being like taken advantage of in a way that they're like, we'll pay you $50 to come to VidCon.
And knowing that they're going to make space back then was even so different than it is now. Right. Like that was before TikTok. That was before a lot of things.
Yeah. YouTube was the thing and they were very protected that I did not get taken advantage of. Granted, for good. And I got to go to a VidCon party with an influencer that they were not so sure that I should be hanging out with. But they were like, you know what, Morgan, if this is what you want to do, if this will scratch the little LA itch you have to go see what like all these people are about, whatever. But like, be warned, it's not going to be what you think it is. So I get into this party bus. Okay. I go to a VidCon party with this influencer. And what does he do? He rents out an entire effing party bus for us to go. Just us two.
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us to go to this party all the way in Anaheim, right? Like we could have taken an Uber. I offered to drive us there and he's like, no, 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 no. Like we have to show up in style. We get to this party and it's pretty late into the evening, but the party started at maybe 9:30.
Okay.
So it hadn't even started yet. It was like 9:15. We were getting out of the car, walking up to the line. And keep in mind, it's VidCon. So everybody who is invited to this like agency party is an influencer in some way, shape or form, is a YouTuber or a podcaster or whatever you were in 2019. So everybody there was invited there. Keep that in mind. This guy is talking to like the lady and he's like, well, I have a VIP pass. And she's like, well, so does everybody. Like everybody has a VIP pass. That's why you're at the party, because it's a party, like a VIP party. He's like, no, but I'm like VIP, VIP. And she was like,
that's not a thing.
I'm sorry.
And unfortunately, you're making that up.
I'm sorry to tell you this, sweet cheeks. That's not a thing. Like everybody that was invited to this party is a creator in some way, shape or form. And everybody is on the same list because there was a line stacking up around the corner. Right. And he was like, well, I see that this influencer is in the front of the line. And did you know she only has 1 million followers? I was like, gulp, 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 gulp. At this time, I maybe had like my channel for a few months. I maybe had like 500,000 subscribers. And I was like, uh-oh, what does he think of me? Uh-oh, gulp, 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 scared, shaking in my boots. He gets so vicious with this lady, you guys. Starts pulling up every single person in the line. And he looks at her dead in the face and says, you haven't seen a single person in this line that has as much influence as I do. Showed her his social blade, Brooke. Brought up the social blade. And he's like, well, look how much I'm growing every single day. Look how much I am expanding every single day compared to these losers with only 1 million followers. Are you joking me? I'm VIP, VIP. You're going to let me in the party first. I'm not waiting in this line. I have never... Imagine me, Brooke. I'm there like, oh my God, like my brother let me come to this. And now I know why he didn't want me to come to this, because these people are bat shit crazy. The fact that you think a number on an app that could be deleted tomorrow at any free will, the fact that you think an app that we can close makes you like, it is
Morgan
a wild
is also
thing.
The kind of person that like will not, if she orders a Diet Coke and gets a regular Coke at a restaurant, she will drink the regular Coke because she doesn't want to make the waiter have to go back and get her the Diet Coke that she ordered.
Oh, I'd rather die.
I'd rather blend myself in a blender. The concept of someone doing that in front of you, to someone just doing their job at the front, you were probably in pieces.
I was ready to cry, throw up.
Oh no.
Put myself in front of the VidCon bus, run me over and never see me again. I was mortified. Absolutely mortified. And after that, that's when I realized, oh my gosh, these people really are something else. And now that I've removed myself from that world, because it really is like, it does not matter how, it doesn't matter what you have, as long as the number next to your name looks good. Right. Like it doesn't matter who you are as a person. It doesn't matter if you're nice, if you're wonderful, if you're talented, if you're creative. It only matters the number next to your name. That's what the economy in Los Angeles is in that space.
And during that time, it was next level.
It was because there wasn't TikTok.
It was
like,
next level.
It was Instagram and YouTube. And that's when I realized, oh, I actually do like being in suburbia. I actually do like living in rural America where people just act like normal people and aren't walking around saying, I have 12 million followers, you f-ing loser. What's wrong with you? And now I think it's better because we just don't surround ourselves with people that act like that. Like, never once in my entire life have I seen Shane be like, well, my name's Shane Dawson. Absolutely. Like, let me the f-ing.
Yeah.
And they taught me that from like the beginning, like, you're never better than anyone. You never are more worthy of something than anyone else's. You are the same as everybody else. Like, we're all people. We all have the same blood running through our bloodstream. Like, don't get all hoity-toity. You're entitled to something just because you have some sort of platform because you happen to get lucky.
And the landscape, I think, has changed so much. And in ways for the worse, but it also in so many ways for the better now that we're in 2026 with the rise of TikTok, mm-hmm. where there's so many more people with a platform that it's watered it down a little bit and leveled the playing field a little bit more.
Right. It's not this exclusive club anymore. Right. And it's like anyone, Sarah from rural Wisconsin, can start posting videos and they can pop off tomorrow. Yep. And I love that. I think that, like, seeing more normal people is not only like, I think it helps a lot of people, but I think it like normalizes like the influencer yes. culture.
And it waters down the kind of like hyper influence that in 2019, like some of those people in that space kind of like wielded around a little bit, like mm-hmm. maybe irresponsibly mm-hmm. at times. And I feel like nowadays, because it is more accessible to more people, it's not as sharp of a kind of not weapon. I don't know how to like.
It's not as big of a currency.
Exactly. And I think in a lot of ways that's been a positive change that you can feel in LA. Like, people I noticed are a lot less phased in a good way. It's.
Yeah, that too. We also, my brother lives in the suburbs. I think if you go down to West Hollywood, you'd still be scared.
And you know what? I don't know if I'm ready for that.
We don't have to go there.
I don't
ever.
Now, Disneyland might be on the table for me. I do love
you
it.
You might
there.
Get me there. You, my brother, and Lizzie. I would go with you, my brother, and Lizzie. Sold.
You heard it here first, people.
Okay, can I read you this story that I've been holding yes. on to all day?
She's been baiting me.
This might be one of the juiciest things that I have ever read with my own two
me.
Eyes.
Okay? She's been baiting me all day.
That was such a wholesome chat. I love having wholesome chats with you, my
Fine.
Friend.
Fine. I love my friend. Fine.
Fine. I'm in the mood to be pleasant this week.
My favorite thing that happened on the LA trip, I think we are, I don't know if we've told it on the podcast yet.
We didn't.
It was my favorite. Okay, so we just wrapped. We filmed the episode with Spencer and Shane in the same day. And we
Which
filmed
was
it.
Not a good planning on my part.
It really, I don't know how it happened. It just happened because typically we've learned over the last however many months, almost a year that we've been doing this now, we need a little bit of a break in between filming sessions. We need to A, avoid filming two times in a day if we can. But if we can't, there needs to be a break and there needs to be a snack for my friend and for me because I also get crazy. Because the difference between us when we're tired and or hungry is I get anxious, so I talk too much. Morgan gets tired,
so she shuts down,
and that is a wildly incompatible.
It's a wildly incompatible blood sugar drop.
It's just, it is like the polar opposites and not in a good way. So we have learned to avoid this. Well, it just so happened that we had to go back to back for filming and it just wasn't a great combination. Like, I got the giggles in a really weird way. Like, when we were filming with Spencer, like,
oh my gosh,
I was like,
I offended all married people on accident.
I was like Mrs. Gigglefest and anything that either of them said, I would start laughing. And I was watching that back like, hey, that wasn't funny. Like, why are we doing this?
Well, I had the same experience. This is what is such a learning curve about having like a weekly schedule, because I've never been on a schedule before. And if I ever watched a vlog back and didn't like the vibe, I'd be like, just cut it. Like, screw it. I'll start over. Do it again. No loss here. The podcast, it's like you kind of are on such a tight schedule that it's not something that you can just be like, don't like this one too much. Mm-hmm. The vibes weren't good. Let's trash the whole thing. I watched it back and I was like, Morgan, girl, this was not your best. I wasn't even looking at you. No, I was mortified at me. I said, if I was married, I'd be angry. I'd be so angry. What I meant was, if I was married to any of my past prospects that have come into my life, yes, that would have not been good.
Well, I knew what you meant. No, it was just, I think it just was one of those things where we know each other so well also that we're watching that back and we're like, oh my God, we were so hungry and tired. We were so hungry and tired.
What had happened? If you want to know,
I will tell you.
I had assumed that the easiest way to ask Shane and Spencer to film with us, because I never want to like
put them out,
especially because Shane has been so busy with the pilot. I didn't want to like put a wrench in his schedule, even though I know if I asked, he would do it just to like, because we're kind of like the same, like he would have a hard time saying no. So I didn't want to like ask for too much in when I know he's busy. So I had said, let's film with Shane and Spencer, just so like, because Shane works with Spencer. So if we like take that hour, it kind of like does it two for one, like they're both spending an hour doing this versus like Shane taking an hour and Spencer taking an hour. The night before, Shane was like, oh, like, you know what I think would be so much better? Like, all go alone and then have Spencer alone. Then like you three, cause you're all the same age, would be so much fun.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, if you're up to that and you have time for that, sure, why not? I did not plan enough time in between. And then once we got done filming with Shane, Spencer was already there dressed and ready. And I was like, well, we're not going to make Spencer wait for us to refeed and recaffeinate. Let's just like power through. It was not a good choice to power through. I should have said, dear Spency, can we get a sandwich first?
Yes. And in hindsight, I should have been like, hey, Spencer, we do in fact need a sandwich.
Morgan will chop somebody's head off if we don't caffeinate.
We were feeling brave, bold, and beautiful. And so we filmed. And by the time we got done, we all three of us went nonverbal. We went nonverbal and we drove our happy asses over to the nearest restaurant, sat down, had protein. And it was as if we rose from the dead. All three of us were being so funny at lunch. We were being and we so should have talkative.
We should have just eaten first, damn it. We were being
so funny, so talkative, like three best friends that anyone could ever have. We were having so much effing fun. And we get home to we were staying in this hotel because there was just not enough room. So we were staying in this hotel, Morgan and I. Morgan's like, I'm going to go to the lobby and get some candy and some water.
And my brain's out.
Okay, yeah, fine. Fine, cat's out of the bag. I was going to spare you, but yeah. And I'm on the FaceTime with my husband being like, yeah, like we filmed today. It was fun. And all of a sudden I'm starting to get all these Snapchats from Morgan. I'm like, uh-oh, like what's going on? And I open the Snapchat and it's her. It's her from like this angle. And she goes, when it's 7 p.m. and you're deciding to be pleasant for the first time today.
After we had eaten and taken a 20 minute rest.
She's like, when all I needed was a little nap and a little snack. And I was like, oh. And if that's not me. But it was so funny.
No, I've learned, because this morning even I could feel that my vibe was off and I had to tell Brooke, I'm like, Brooke, I just need caffeine. Like, the problem is not you. I'm fiending for caffeine and that will fix the problem. Nope. So sometimes I have to let her know, like, I'm not mad at you. I need food or caffeine.
No, it's so funny. Someone asked me once, they were like, do you think you're on the spectrum? And I went, why would you say that to me? Because maybe. And they were like, well, I just feel like sometimes like people need to really spell out how they feel about you because you don't really get the vibe sometimes. Like people people could be so nice to you, like overtly, and you don't know if they like you or not. And I'm like, well, I've had a lot of nice people be really mean behind my back. So like, I really need verbal confirmation that you don't hate me and that you're not mad at me, because I have misread the room many times in my life.
You're not misreading this one, and sister.
So, never, but whenever Morgan does explicitly say, I'm tired, I don't hate you, I'm like, oh, wow, I love her. That's my love language.
I told her I'm going to set up like a Siri automated text every morning before she wakes up that says, dear Brooke, I don't hate you, I'm not mad at you, you're not annoying, and I love you. Have a good day.
No, we should say what Maddie said when she was doing your hair.
Oh my gosh. So my friend Maddie, who is so sweet.
We love Maddie.
And she is also a hairdresser, but she's also my bestie. I went to get like my wig sewed back
which
in.
It's never looked better.
Thank
Your
you.
Hair, genuinely, I was looking at you yesterday in awe. It has never looked better.
Thank ever. You. The color, the length, everything.
I got a little bit of blonde put back in because I was feeling a little dark and gloom. Anyway, I was getting my hair re-sewn back into my scalp because, as we know, I have cabbage on my head. And Maddie said, I have coleslaw on my head. My mom in LA, she said, I've never had hair like you. I said, yeah, me either. Yeah, I haven't either. So I don't know what you think this is. It's fake. Maddie is doing my hair and she says, gosh, I just love your friend Brooke because we've been hanging out as a trio whenever Brooke comes and like we want to go to the mall or get dinner or something. And she says, do you think she has anxiety? I was like, yeah, I think she might. And I think like not in like a shit talking way, in like a concerned mother. Like,
do you think your friend Brooke knows she suffers from anxiety? Because it's a new thing for me. It's a new thing. I don't really know what's going on, but we're fine. It's fine. We're fine. I think I've just become painfully, painfully self-aware of myself, and it's a new thing for me. But we're getting there. We're learning.
We all have to have a little anxiety for breakfast. Okay, can I read you this?
I'm begging.
So, I'm not going to read the title because
it's a surprise.
This is going to turn in a way that you just don't expect.
Oh, shit.
Oh, right. I will read the title. Fine. Am I the asshole for starting a house project without discussing it with my wife?
Possibly.
So, backstory. He's married and he has a wife.
And a house.
And a house. Good for him. My wife, Amy, full name is crazy.
Jesus.
27 female and I, 27 male, have a spare room in our home. We've gone back and forth since we moved in 2+ years ago about what we wanted to do with it, but we never took the initiative to actually implement any of these plans. We already have a sufficient number of guest rooms and an office, so the room just sits there unutilized. I'm not that worried about it, but my wife brings it up now and then. These mentions are just of the unused room itself, not for anything concrete she actually wants to use it for. I've made a new friend, Ben, male 30, about 8 months ago, and it was very much one of those we connected from the first time we spoke to each other situations. I've actually never had that many close male friends, so this connection is especially important to me. The conversation flowed so easily. We had loads in common. I didn't think such a huge amount of genuine love and respect for a person could be developed in less than a year, but it's been very cool to experience and get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we bonded over was a similar love for art and music. Ben is way, way more talented than I am when it comes to painting, but it's something we both enjoy. His birthday is coming up soon, and I thought on top of what else I was getting for him, I could turn our spare room into something similar to an art studio for us both to use. I already ordered a few things for it and was getting ready to jump into painting the walls when my wife came in and demanded to know what I was doing. I explained that I was finally fixing up the spare room. She said it was unacceptable, and I had done this without confirming with her that it was okay, but I didn't think I would need to since it's been 2 years and the room has basically never been touched. Then that was the end of it, right? But he comes back 2 hours later to give us a little more context.
Thank you.
First off, I'd like to thank everyone who was compassionate towards me in the comments. Ben and I sat down and talked on Tuesday night about everything. It was overwhelming, to say the least. He was gentle and sweet, as always, and allowed me the time and space to say everything I needed to. That night was one of the most beautiful of my life. Acceptance, love, and trust are truly so, so powerful. Life-changing, in fact.
Denial might be a river in Egypt. Like...
Amy and I had a conversation about the spare room last night. I had been putting it off since my post a few hours ago and was hoping to wait until the weekend to talk about it, but she insisted. I did as a lot of comments suggested and used the room renovation as a lead-in to talk about other things going on. I told her that her reaction to it brought up a lot of confusing emotions for me that I've spent the last few days working through, and things continued from there. I had toyed with the idea of couples therapy, and it was something she suggested, but I don't think it's a viable option. I love her, but I've come to realize I was never in love with her like I once thought. And after getting to really and truly experience that, It wouldn't be fair to either of us if we tried to force something that I'm not capable of giving to her. I'll be splitting my time staying in one of our guest rooms and with Ben in his apartment for the time being while we separate and work things out moving forward. Obviously, that means the room renovations have been paused until further notice. So, this caused outrage in the comments of people being like, hey, brother, put your contacts in. Put your glasses on. Hey, we don't think the problem is the spare room. We think the problem is that you might like Cooter in the way that you thought that you once did.
Denial is a river in Egypt. Your husband is gay.
He starts responding to comments. And the top comment is, are you in love with Ben? Straight out.
And listen.
He says, I don't know if I'm fully prepared to confront this yet. While I subconsciously knew my feelings for Ben were a lot different and more intense than anything I had ever felt before, it was hard to even admit to myself that a little while ago. That's why all of the sexuality questions on the last post felt really off to me. It was forcing me to be vulnerable. They also made me angry in a way because literal strangers were pointing out things about me from a simple post and a few comments that I struggled to see about myself. In an attempt to answer your question, if this isn't what in love feels like, I'm kind of scared to experience the real thing with how all-consuming this level of fulfillment already is with Ben.
Holy cannoli.
Am I the asshole? Okay, and then the last piece that I'll give you before I let Brooke commentate. There is a person that comments and says, I'd like to add some of the context that the original poster has deleted, especially the part where he mentions he bought Ben a pair of $3,400 Gucci shoes for his birthday and his wife got a $200 Kate Spade bag and this enraged her and he didn't know why.
Listen, I... I have a lot of empathy for all parties involved.
He still is not, it's not clocking to him to this day.
He goes, I don't know, maybe.
And I don't know, it's so weird that you would say that.
Maybe. He goes, what? No homo. I want to build my homie up an art studio in my house. No homo.
Us?
God. No homo. God forbid a man loves his friend enough to move him platonically into my house.
God forbid. He wants a pair of Gucci loafers.
And God forbid his life is lightened more by the man in his life than his wife. Empathy overload for the fact that he clearly has a lot of internalized, I don't know if it's internalized homophobia, I don't know if it's internalized like expectations for himself. To be 27 years old and be struck, sucker punch, slapped in the face by the realization that you are in love with a man
while you're already married
must be top 10 scariest experiences probably ever. Empathy overdrive.
You're right. We should give empathy to him because how frightening would it be scary to be like, oh my gosh, I thought I loved her.
I thought we were just friends. Like, this is just my buddy. Gulp and a half. However, I do, in fact, and this is a really hot take, but I have more empathy for the wife because he's going to be okay. Him and Ben are going to live happily ever after.
They're going to be up in that art studio. They're going to paint each other like they do on the Titanic. Tits out, jewelry on.
Where one person is getting ultimate fulfillment, i.e. him, she is getting ultimate betrayal that the man that she loved and married wasn't being authentic to himself. And then the pain of realizing you can't even hold it against him because he didn't even know. And he's now like, it's not like he did it maliciously. He just didn't know that about himself.
He probably did think that he loved her in a way that felt romantic, especially if he's never been free to experience a different saucy kind of love. I'll never forget. We've all seen, well, I don't know. Actually, I don't know what you've seen or not. I did a video a few years ago with my first boyfriend who ended up being gay. and it was a truth or drink, and it was really fun and really wholesome and whatever. But what he said that like will forever stick with me, because we were teenagers, right? So he really didn't know, like, he genuinely in his heart of hearts did not know like what that type of romantic love felt like versus what a friendship love felt like. And he told me, like, I knew that I loved you, and I thought that that meant that I like wanted to date you. But until you experience like something that's actually like romantic and fulfilling, you just don't know what that feels like. So what he said to me was, I really did think that I loved you romantically, but now that I know more and have more context, I realize that I loved you like my sister, like my family, like I would die for you. I love you, but not in a romantic, like I want to stick my weenie in your cooter type of way.
One of my gunkles dated women all.
Your kid. What?
He dated women like most of his 20s, was like physical with them and everything. Fully didn't know he was gay until his 30s, I don't think. Like, it took him a long time to even know that. And it's interesting too, because he had a lot of like heterosexual relationships. And he's like, yeah, but he's from the South and had all these like internalized whatever. But it's tricky, because where one person, it's a challenging thing to grapple with, because where one person is getting ultimate fulfillment in like, I get to live my truth now, the other person is probably going to have trust issues and devastation forever. So
right, because he gets to kind of live his happily ever after and be like, well, I already found the person I love. Meanwhile, she has to start completely.
Right.
Not only does she have to handle the fact that her husband is now gay, which I guess he hasn't said that he is, but we're just alleging here. She has to cope with the fact that her husband turned out gay. Then she has to cope with getting divorced at 27.
It's tough. It's not like she wants to.
It's not like she didn't know that there was this elephant in the room. Yeah. The elephant literally fell through the ceiling, broke the glass window, and suddenly it's in the room with us. She didn't know it was coming. It literally got teleported here.
She didn't even know the elephant was on the roof.
She did not know the ceiling was going to come crashing down. Her whole life is going to get flipped upside down, and she has to start over. So you're right. We can give empathy on both sides.
As much as yes, he's getting fulfillment and is happily ever after, hopefully. But like, it's also so sad for him, because he's like thinking, but that's where you do lose me a little bit, where he's like, her reaction was just so terrible to the fact that I built my lover an art studio in our home and like bought him all this stuff. Like, him blaming her in that post, I think, is the one area where it's like, bro, like, I don't understand how you could be so blind to the fact that what you were doing is so strange.
Weird.
That's so strange.
Just odd behavior.
Yeah. But my favorite Wendy Williams clip of all time is when she's on the radio and this woman like is like writing into the radio about like her boyfriend doing these weird, or her husband doing these weird things, and Wendy goes, denial is a river in Egypt, your husband is gay.
Denial is a river in Egypt, your husband is gay.
Bro, she was so funny. I don't care what anybody says, nobody gave less than Wendy Williams live on the air. Remember the clip of her passing out in the Lady Liberty suit? Yes.
Or clap if you care. Clap if you care. And clap if you don't care.
With Olivia Jade plastered on the big screen.
God, she has some other ones too. Oh my God, Wendy Williams is a national treasure. I don't care.
This guy needs to call her up and say, what should I do if I just found out that I'm gay at 27? Now I have to divorce my wife.
Whenever someone's like, sometimes when someone does something fruity, I'm like, denial is a river in Egypt. Your husband is gay. But no, it's
calling all the Mormon wives.
Amen to that. Yeah.
You know, my mom, I was telling Brooke that she really doesn't give a lot of her Mormon lore, like her time in the church. But she did say that a lot of her friends, because they get married so damn young, like 18, 19, you're late. a lot of her friends did end up marrying fruity men because it wasn't accepted. I don't think it's still like really accepted in the Mormon church. And they end up marrying these fruity guys. And then when they're 40, they're like, uh-oh. I had an art teacher. Rest in peace. My dad told me he passed away. Aww. He saw it in the newspaper. Anyway, my brother and I both had him. He was an amazing art teacher. His name was Mr. Cimento, R.I.P., if you know the man. And I will never forget, I walk into my like photography class, which was what he was teaching that year. And I sit down and I'm like, OMG, I'm so excited. I have Mr. Cimento. My brother had him. This is so cool. He pulls out a PowerPoint and is giving us his whole family lore. And he goes, this is my wife and kids, and shows a family photo. And everyone's like, oh, so cute. Like, we're in high school, so we're kind of like, what the fuck's going on? Cuts to the next slide in the PowerPoint, crops out the wife of the picture, and now it's just him and his kids, replaces it with a picture of a man, like Photoshop rendering in like Canva before Canva was a thing. And he goes, yeah, it was really unfortunate. Like, when I figured out I was gay, that was a really tough conversation in front of the whole photography class. And at the time, like,
that's kind of king behavior.
It was so funny. Like, the whole PowerPoint presentation of him being like, yeah, I did have a wife, but like, uh-oh, I realized I was gay. And then when I realized I wanted to be an art teacher, that's really when we knew. Icon. legend and icon. Rest in peace, Mr. Cimento.
That's actually so funny. No, it's... I live in Dallas, and I find that there's a lot of guys that are so, like, fruity.
Really?
Well, I've dated multiple guys that have turned out to be gay.
Yeah, me and you both, sister. And what does that say about us?
We're just really accepting
people. You know what? It means that the gays want to be our BFFs. And that is the most flattering thing I've ever heard.
You know what I will say? I have been told by these guys who, like, found out more about their sexuality that, like, they felt very safe with me. Aww. Which I think is a very, very kind thing to say, that, like, people feel safe to be who they really are around me, which I think is a compliment. Did it hurt my feelings a little bit? Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever been to my mom's house during Christmas? No. I don't think you have. My favorite thing that my mom does, okay, this is like her FU to her time in the Mormon church where they were like really against the gays back in the day. Because my brother's obviously gay, so she is an ally and she is loud and proud. She has her proud parent cup on display so everyone on her Zoom calls knows that she's an ally, right?
Oh, ally.
My mom... You know, they sell those big inflatable Santa or the big inflatable snowman, right? And you can get with the Santa Mrs. Claus to go with it, like huge ones from Home Depot. I'm talking like 25 feet. My parents go all out for Christmas. And I was like, Mom, we should get the Santa and the Mrs. Claus. And she was like, you know what? That just doesn't make enough of a statement. She bought two Santa Clauses and... She puts her two Santa Clauses up 25 feet tall in our backyard where, like, at our old house, it was the first thing you see when you drive into the neighborhood. And she says, I want everyone to know this is a gay-friendly house. And those two Santas out there, they're gay. They're gay as hell. They're in love. They're dating. And when people would come, like, bring cookies to the door, you know, like, everyone's in suburbia. You're making cookies for your neighbor for Christmas. She's like, did you see the gay Santas? Like, wanted everybody to know. And then my friend that I grew up with that I thought was my boyfriend, his parents were like very religious, and he was like, I just loved being at your house, and the reason that I wanted to sleep over all the time, like, you thought we were dating, but I just felt good there.
Oh, I was like, oh, that's such a compliment.
Mickey the ally. Damn,
we should get like custom gay sweaters for the Santas to wear. We should knit them
like a blue one and a Brooke. That would be a huge sweater. We need like all of the yarn in North
all
America.
All hands on deck. Everyone in the Tron, get your knitting gear. We got work to do. Knitting club starts tomorrow. We got to get it in time for Christmas.
We can make them little beanies.
Spencer's mom can make them.
Oh, you're so right. Let's call her up and she can send a key lime pie while she's at it.
Oh my gosh. No, that's so good. Well, jury's out. I don't think either of you are the assholes, but I do feel really bad for the girl, and I hope you guys live happily ever after.
Yeah, hopefully you and Ben have fun in your art studio.
In your art studio.
You know what the better thing to do would have been? To just make an art studio for you and say Ben likes to spend time up there.
Yeah.
But I guess rip the Band-Aid off now if you know.
Listen,
give her as much time as she needs.
I also think it's wild that he tried to post something on the internet to get like backup, and everyone's like, actually, you might just be gay. And he's like, he gets defensive, and then 2 hours later goes, uh-oh. Call might be coming from inside the house.
You might need to call Miss Vicky up.
That's so funny. One of the funniest stories you've ever told me is how your brother came out to you.
In the airport?
Uh-huh. Like, so casually, because after spending time with him, that just really makes sense to me.
Oh.
He's so nonchalant.
It was literally after I lost my phone in the Miami airport. By the way, I'm gay. And my mom, oh, that was so much less stressful than Morgan losing her phone. My mom's, yeah, we know.
Yeah. Oh, really? Wow. Okay. I know that. I knew that.
My mom said he used to ride around on my bike and he would say, it's a beautiful day to be Barbie.
Oh, he knew who he was from a young age.
And I know that's right.
I know that's right.
Well, this has been so fun.
I love it in here.
This is the best room. If you guys don't know anything about Brooke's mom, she is interior designer extraordinaire. If your mom doesn't have any fans, I'm dead.
Her and my gunkle have way too much fun interior decorating, and they are a duo to be reckoned with. They really know what they're doing.
In my next life, I want to be your mom.
Me too.
She always looks fabulous. She's so just sweet and kind, and everything she has is just so tasteful.
Someday,
I could describe a word, she is tasteful. That's someday, what she is.
I think we should get my mom on the pod and have everyone understand that I just feel like she has like tips and tricks out her ass. She is just Mrs. Tips and Tricks.
She's the influencer with no TikTok.
Mm-mm.
She is unbelievable. I am her biggest fan.
But we're in one of her fancy rooms and it's so, so fun in here.
I love that your mom uses so much blue. It is inspiring me. I told Brooke, come August when we do a rebrand, we're going blue and green because I like the earth tones just feel so nice and cozy.
Green is my absolute favorite color, and blue, I need it to be adopted as one of your favorite colors. I know you're a pink girl.
I have been liking blue more. I think it's because of your mom, though. I loved the blue room that we filmed in that she had created, the blue movie room. Because I would never like go to Home Goods and think like, oh, I love blue in my house.
Yeah.
But every time I see blue that your mom has used, I'm like, oh yeah, blue is it
even
for
though
me.
It's like the light fixtures are blue over there.
I do be liking the color blue. We could play into our eye color. Like that's what I love. You're green and I'm blue.
I love it. Yeah, let us know what you think of the blue-green idea. Like, this kind of vibe.
Fonze. Well, we will see you whenever we see you.
We might be seeing you in the dark.
Ooh,
we might have a spooky episode coming for you guys, maybe.
Ooh, don't get excited because we didn't bring the tent, but we will bring the vibes.
Ooh, la, la. Okay, see you on the after show. Bye.
Did you see the girl on Instagram Reels that said, you know how old someone is based on the fact that if they still say vibes, hit me like a brick. I was like, damn.
Is vibes out?
I guess.
Oh my gosh. My youngest sister, she sent my others. We have like a sister's group chat and she sent this like drunk vlog at the end of her night. She was recapping her night and she goes, man, I was talking to some fine shite all night. I have never felt so old in my life.
Didn't she say she was chirping at them?
She goes, I was chirping at these guys all night. Man, they were fine shite. I went, holy shit. I'm old. And I said, that's lovely. What the f*** does that mean?
Can we get a decode on that? Can we get a Google translation?
Hey, can you use it in a sentence? I need a definition immediately. Fine shite. So last night I was on FaceTime with Jacob. I go, sup, fine shite? He goes, what? I was like, the kids are saying it. You're old.
Should we start every podcast? What's up, you little fine shite?
Sup, fine shite? Gonna be chirping at you
that
all day.
That sounds offensive for some reason. Shite. Well, I'll shite you guys later. Or wait, that's not how you use it. Love you, fine shiters.
Love you.
Mwah. Keep the shite good over there. Bye.